An Illinois State University professor has become just the second faculty representative from any school ever appointed to the NCAA Division I Board of Directors, the top governing body for major college athletics. ISU marketing professor Jerry Beggs tells GLT's Eric Stock during her upcoming four-year term, the board plans to focus on big-picture issues, money, including whether athletes should be paid, and whether legalized gambling will ever be more than just an underground dimension of college sports.
I don't see the NCAA doing it. I do see them lowering their guard a little bit in terms of, at one point, some of the states that had gambling on collegiate athletics were not allowed to host championships or tournaments. And so that has changed. We now see tournaments being held in Las Vegas and other states that at one time were banned by the NCAA. So that's definitely a lowering. We hear about universities and conferences that take casino money, you know, advertising and sponsorships from casinos and those types of things. So I think we've definitely lowered I wouldn't say standards, but restrictions. But I don't know that I see the NCAA ever getting involved in that.
Does it make you uncomfortable to talk about gambling in the context of student athletes?
It does. It does. And I can't imagine a day that, you know, we say, you know, there's a radio broadcast and the radio broadcaster says this timeout brought to you by, and then names some online betting venue. That seems really strange to me. Now I'm old, so it would be hard for me to wrap my head around that. They're concerned about it. They want to protect student athletes. We know there's a problem anytime there's money involved. I remember in one of the conversations recently, they talked about how do you standardize injury reports? Because if student athletes are injured, that might affect the betting and how people bet. And so how do we control that? So there's lots of little issues that go along with it. And the NCAA is trying to grapple with those.
There was a time not that long ago where betting lines were sort of taboo to be mentioned in broadcasts on the professional level. And we have clearly seen that subside. And of course, with the explosion of fantasy sports, that has sort of changed the dynamic a little bit. And I guess one would imagine collegiate athletics would be the next frontier.
It certainly could, and it's one of those areas that we're going to have to be really careful with.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock with Jerry Beggs, ISU marketing professor, who will soon be serving on the NCAA Division I Board of Directors. Well, you mentioned one of the legal issues that the NCAA has been involved in the last couple of years. There was a challenge from several football players at Northwestern University wishing to form a union so that they would have collective bargaining power against the university and against the NCAA. The National Labor Relations Board had ruled against that. But is that something that you see coming down the pike at some point where student athletes would have collective bargaining power? It does seem as though the NCAA has made several concessions towards student athletes in the last couple of years on some things like transfer rules and being able to work on the side and those types of things.
Well, I definitely think we're becoming more student-athlete friendly in terms of, you know, as you mentioned, transfer rules and situations like that. I don't know that I see us ever getting to the point where we treat student-athletes as employees. I don't think that model holds up very well for the NCAA. People talk about paying student-athletes to play. They talk about paying them for their likeness. I don't think most people who deal with it on a casual basis understand how difficult that would be for a university to decide who do we pay and who do we not pay. Do we only pay our men's basketball team and our football team? We would have Title IX issues then if we only paid men and not women. What about the 13th guy on the men's basketball team? You know, does he get paid versus the starting five? All of those would be really, really difficult for a university to handle. I think the most likely, and this is my own personal opinion, not an NCAA opinion, not an Illinois State opinion, my own personal opinion is if we ever get to the point of student athletes being paid, it will probably be by an outside vendor. So we may get to the point someday down the road where a student athlete would be able to take his talent and his brand, his likeness, and somebody would sponsor him, or somebody would pay him to be in a commercial, or somebody would pay him. And I'm saying him because most of the time these would probably be male student athletes because of what we know about men's basketball and football, would pay them for that talent or that brand.
And it seems that we're maybe not that far from that now when you look at the money poured into athletic programs by high-dollar donors to some institutions. Right. So maybe we're not that far away from that.
No, and you certainly see universities where they're pouring lots of money into athletics in a way that student athletes benefit. The facilities, the chartered planes, those kinds of things all benefit student athletes, even though we wouldn't say they were getting paid.
You have the NCAA. If you go on their website, you can buy, for example, a Duke jersey or a Kansas jersey. There are no names on the back. Mm-hmm. And yet it appears as though the NCAA is capitalizing on the likeness of certain basketball players in this particular example, but yet that player gets nothing from that. Is there an imbalance or something out of line there?
Well, some people would say yes, some would say no. Most of the student athletes received full scholarships that provided for room and board and college tuition. Many of these universities are quite expensive to attend. You could easily see how that would range from, $150,000 to $200,000 for a 4 to 5 year scholarship for these student athletes. So some people would say they were paid through tuition, board, room and board, books, et cetera. Others would say exactly what you said, which is the universities make a lot of money, the coaches make a lot of money, the commissioners, the ADs, you name the employee, they make a lot of money off of these student athletes.
And this is Sound Ideas. I'm Eric Stock with Jerry Beggs, ISU marketing professor who will soon be serving on the NCAA Division I Board of Directors. Shifting to football, the FBS Football Bowl subdivision a few years ago went to a playoff format that many thought was long overdue. They went to four teams, and it was well received. And of course, it was only a matter of time before people were complaining that it wasn't big enough, that it had to go to eight teams or maybe 16 someday. FCS, which Illinois State is a part of, has a bigger playoff format. Divisions 2 and 3 have had playoff formats for many years. So are we eventually moving toward an expanded playoff format in FBS?
Again, not my area of expertise, and I really don't have a good answer for that one. I know there's push out there, and every year there's a team that didn't get in that, swears they should have been in, and that feeds the fire to expand. There's always going to be somebody left out, no matter what the number. We know on the men's basketball side, we went from 64 to 68. We still get reported who were the last four in and the last four out. And so there's always going to be somebody out. And I don't think it matters what the number is. The problem, I'll bring this back to the academic side for just a second. My problem with expanding is I don't want to expand seasons. Student athletes, if you look at time demands and the amount of time they spend on their sport, is unbelievable what they spend. And if you start expanding the season now, football players may be actually two semester sports if we keep expanding. So I don't want to see the tournament make the season any longer.
It would seem that basketball has the biggest challenge with that, with a postseason where you could be playing up to seven games over the course of a month and, of course, traveling to every one of those games.
Yes. And, of course, everybody wants that problem, right? Everybody wants to be playing in late March and April, but it's very hard on student athletes. Think about those student athletes that go to the Final Four. They have missed week after week of classes, and many of them the same exact days, right? They miss Wednesday, Thursday, Friday classes over and over and over again. Now, I would hope that they have faculty members who are working with them and tutors and academic people who are working with them to help them keep up with their studies, with their academics. But I'm sure there's lots of pressure on them during those times.
That's ISU marketing professor and incoming NCAA board member Jerry Beggs with GLT's Eric Stock. Tomorrow in Sound Ideas, Beggs will share what she calls her pet project with the NCAA, rooting out academic misconduct.